Godzilla is now in New York City.
Monster 01 and 02, commence the attack.
Welcome back to Stomp This Way. This week we're here to talk about a movie? Question mark.
It is a movie.
That might be kind, calling it a movie, but just kidding. We're talking about the infamous Reptilicus.
Oh yeah.
You want some production trivia?
Oh, you know I do.
Well, actually, let me start by saying Andrew told me just before this podcast that he had watched this movie, like, I guess 4 or 5 times all told, to which I was like, I'm sorry.
You know, it was on TV, and I was like, why not?
On what TV?
Stir TV. Oh, not gosh. Sponsored by Stir TV.
We are not. Is Stir TV even? I guess it's still there.
It's still there.
Yeah. Well, anyway, production trivia. This is a Danish production. Meaning it was made in Denmark, the great country of Denmark.
Yeah.
Could you point that out on a map?
No.
No. They actually filmed several different versions, mostly with the same cast. Danish actress Bodil Miller was replaced for the English version since she could not speak English. So they basically filmed, I don't know exactly how many versions they filmed. They filmed at least 2. One Danish, one English. I don't know exactly how they did it. I assume that they probably filmed it all at about the same time, just did one take in English, one take in Danish, but they had this other actress come in for the one that couldn't speak English. I don't know what character the was replaced. I'm guessing it was probably either Lisa or the other blonde-headed chick, but anyway.
Feel sorry for the actors that didn't get replaced.
Yeah.
You had to do the whole thing over again.
Had to do it twice. The director of the English version, Sidney W. Pink, he did the English version, but it was deemed unreleasable by AIP.
Ooh.
Which is pretty bad, considering some of the movies that AIP released. And they basically heavily reworked it with the screenwriter. Pink actually ended up in a legal battle with AIP over these changes, but he dropped the charges after watching the film. I think they watched it and they were like, this movie's not worth fighting over. Is this considered Denmark's only monster movie?
Oh.
According to what I read. So there's that, I guess, distinction that it holds. Pink tried to get a remake off the ground in 2001, prior to his death in 2002. A 1961 2-issue comic was made based on the film. After the copyright expired, the comic was renamed Reptosaurus, the Terrible, and went on for 6 more issues. So I think, 8 in total. And this was featured as the film on the premiere episode of the MST3K revival in 2017. So there's that. A little bit of box office. But keep in mind, these are Wikipedia numbers, so accuracy could be questioned. This was released on February 20th of 1961 in Denmark. AIP released it in the U.S. sometime in 1962. Budget of $133,000 for the original Denmark version. Another $100,000 for the redo in English. And then a total box office gross of $800,000. So, based on those numbers, it turned a profit.
Barely.
Barely. But anyway, we're going to listen to a trailer, and then we're going to come back and tell you all about Reptilicus. By the way, we watched the AIP English version.
Yes.
So, just FYI. But anyway, here's the trailer, and we'll be back.
It's a piece of skin, like leather.
From all corners of the earth, they gather to study the mystifying frozen fossil, a reptilian tail that grows into a giant of terror.
It's alive! It's loose!
You have been invited here to see for yourselves one of the most amazing events in the annals of scientific history.
Reptilicus, a monstrous massive beast whose astounding appearance causes panic.
Reptilicus approaching the city. Repeat, Reptilicus approaching the city.
This is Grayson. All units.
Reptilicus. An annihilating mastodon, immune to all known weapons of warfare, creating chaos such as mankind has never before known.
All right, we're back. The cast and crew is as follows. Directed by, the original Danish version is directed by Paul Bang. Probably saying that wrong. English version, like I said, by Sidney W. Pink. Written by Ib Melchior. Probably butchering that. I may have even typed that wrong. I don't know. And Sidney W. Pink. Music by Sven Gildmark. Something like that. Effects by Kai Coed. And starring Carl Odison, Anne Smyrna, Mimi Heinrich, and Dirk Passer. And the summary is as follows. When remains of an unknown creature are discovered while drilling, its pieces are excavated and taken to a lab in Copenhagen for study. After the specimen is accidentally thawed one night, the scientists discover that the tissue is still capable of regenerating. One stormy night, the creature, dubbed Reptilicus, and now fully regenerated, breaks out of the lab and begins terrorizing the countryside. The military chases it into the sea with a flamethrower, but fails to kill it. They then try to bomb the creature, but they discontinue after realizing that if they blow it to bits, each individual piece could regenerate into a full-sized monster. Reptilicus soon recovers and attacks Copenhagen. The military tries to turn it back, but their small arms fire does nothing to harm the monster. Eventually, the Danes concoct a drug to put Reptilicus to sleep, which they put into a bazooka and fire into the creature's mouth. With the mission successful, the military and scientists celebrate their victory. However, the final shot reveals that a leg blown off during the earlier bombardment is moving around at the bottom of the sea as credits roll.
Ooh.
I didn't put any names because I couldn't remember any of the names, and the character names don't really matter in this movie.
No.
So there are a bunch of characters, but we'll talk about that. But for starters, like I said, we've both seen this movie before.
Yeah.
I'd only seen it once before.
I've seen it a few times.
I was not aware that there was two totally different versions for Denmark and for England. I don't know if you could probably find the Denmark version somewhere.
I only watched the English version they had on Stowe.
Yeah, but I didn't bother to hunt it down. But these are mostly Danish actors that are, you know, they speak English. They obviously, you can tell that they're speaking English with their mouth movements. They obviously also went back and did a lot of ADR in this movie that isn't particularly well done. Yeah. But the movie starts with these guys drilling. I don't know if it was a gas rig or I don't really
oil
know what
something.
It's not royal something. And they pull up the drill and there's blood on it. And he's like, we hit fossils. Well, if it's bleeding, it ain't fossils, bud.
No.
But whatever. That's only one of many logic flaws in this movie. But anyway, so they take this, what they found, back to Denmark, back to Copenhagen. They excavate like a piece of a tail and freeze it in this lab. And the scientists decide that it was from an ancient reptile that was over 90 feet long and all this and all that. And then one night, there's like two scientists, main scientists, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is working late that night and he dozes off and accidentally doesn't close the freezer well. And the tail thaws. And the next morning, they figure out, oh, it's regenerating. It's still alive.
Ooh.
And so they put it into a tank and feed it nutrients. And
yeah,
I mean, what could possibly bad happen when it regenerates? I don't know. They didn't seem to think about it too hard.
They did not think about it at all.
Yeah. They also, I mean, we have a lot of characters like we talked about. There's two scientists. One of the scientists has two daughters that are in and out of the movie. There's the guy from the drill.
Yeah.
Which is hanging around a lot. Although I don't know really why, because he's, I don't know what he would know about any of this. He works on a drill rig, but whatever. And they hire a night guard, a night security guard.
Yeah.
He was just a guy that wears his coveralls to work.
It's very simple.
Yeah, he's like the comedic relief in a movie of comedic relief.
Yeah.
He's goofy. And I don't know, he doesn't do much except
walk around and be comedic relief.
Yeah. But anyway, about, I don't know, half an hour into the movie?
Yeah.
Reptilicus regenerates and breaks out of the lab on a dark and stormy night. And, you know, the military, they call in this American general guy, yeah. Mark, General Mark or something. Well, he was there before it broke out, but now that it's broke out, and they go driving around and find some dead cows the next day or something, and there's Reptilicus in all of his glory, which, we'll talk about that later, but...
Yeah.
You know, he terrorizes the countryside. They had the scene where they chase him around and eventually burn him with a flamethrower.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're trying to figure out what they're going to do, so they decide they're going to drop depth charges. And literally nobody thinks that that's a bad idea until they start to drop the depth charges. Although, I will say it's a interesting scene because they did, like, blow charges, like, right up against this puppet.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. Probably the last film they seen, maybe other than the flamethrower bit. But anyway, did I say the last film they seen? I mean, the last scene they filmed. This movie's got me all mixed up. Words are hard. Anyway, yeah. And then they call that off. And then he attacks the city. Copenhagen. It's the one and only time we'll get to see a giant monster attack Copenhagen, I'm pretty sure. But, yeah. I mean, you know, this movie is bad. You know, the acting's bad. Mm-hmm. There at one point, they take like a 5-minute break to do a tourist montage of Copenhagen.
Yep. It's something.
It's something. You know, I will say I'm entertained by the actor playing the American general. I'm pretty sure half the time he's acting like he just came off a 3-day drinking binge.
Mm.
Because he's like, especially during this final battle, he's like all sweaty and staggering around, and I'm pretty sure that's not his acting chops. And the younger guy, too, is also sweating. And I'm pretty sure they were hammered most of the time.
Just trying to get through this movie.
Yeah. Trying to get to the second filming of this movie. God bless them.
What have I done?
And I also wonder why all these characters are involved in this military operation. The two daughters hang around a lot.
Yeah.
In the control room or whatever.
I guess I can see the doctor guy.
The doctor. I guess the scientists. I can see that. I don't know why the drill rig guy's here. I guess the older daughter knows a little something about science.
Yeah.
Or something.
Did the scientist lady, was she still there?
Yeah, she was there the whole movie. Mm-hmm. they bring in this other woman scientist because for something, I don't remember, but it'd be a pretty face to look at in reality.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple of younger military officers that are in and out of the movie.
Captain Britain.
Captain, yeah, whatever. I don't really know who the main character is. I guess it's the General Mark.
I think he's
got the most screen time. Most
monologuing dialogue. This whole first part of the movie.
Which I'm sure is probably added for the English version. They may have even edited the movie so that he was the main character since he was the American compared to the
others.
Because you get the feeling early on in the movie that the drill rig guy was going to be the main character because the movie starts with him. He's kind of the, you know, handsome young lead character that would usually be the lead in these types of movies, but he's really relegated to the background. I know another thing that they added for the American cut was the acid spitting, which is why you never see the after effects of it. Just the acid spitting, which we'll talk about that effect later too. I don't know. The final battle goes on for a while. He attacks Copenhagen, destroys a lot of stuff. There's a lot of footage of, I think, real disasters.
Yeah. Of,
like when he comes back and sinks all the ships, those are like real footage of ships sinking.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like real footage of burnt down buildings and stuff, which today may be considered a little distasteful, but whatever. I will grant this movie that it seems like they did have the cooperation of the Norwegian military. There's a lot of actual military vehicles in use, and some of it, I'm sure, is military stock footage and was not filmed for this movie. But even the military stock footage looked like it was filmed on similar grade film stock, so you can't really tell the difference when it's switching back and forth. So, you know, and there's obviously had a lot of extras for this movie, so I'll give it that. There are a couple of scenes. Well, there are a few scenes that are so bad they're good. And there are a couple of scenes that I was kind of impressed with, especially at the end where they have these mass amount of extras running down the streets. There's one scene that I think was actually pretty good. It makes me wonder if they pulled it from a different movie where they start to, people are running over this drawbridge and then they actually start to pull up the drawbridge. The operator panics because Reptilicus is coming.
Yeah.
And then some of the people keep running and run off the drawbridge.
I'm pretty sure one of the guys was in a wheelchair.
Yeah, well, I know there was at least a bicycle or two. Maybe there was a wheelchair, too. That was a pretty good scene, pretty effective scene.
Yeah.
I like that.
One of the only effective scenes in the movie.
One of the only effective scenes. So, it's not all trash. They had some talent, some money, a little bit, not much.
Not much, just enough.
Unfortunately, as we'll talk about in Creature Design and Effects, the money did not extend there.
No.
Or the talent. But, yeah, so the movie, they have this fight in Copenhagen. Of course, their small machine guns don't do anything to his armor scales. And Mark wants to blow him to smithereens again because he can't think of what else to do. But they finally decide. I love that there's the scene where they're like, oh, we're going to surround him and all fire at once and turn him back. And he goes into this big, long demand of no one fires until I tell them to. And immediately in the next scene, someone panics and fires, which is kind of funny. Anyway, so they finally decide that they're going to drug him because one of the old fat scientists, I'm sorry, old heavier scientist, had a heart attack at one point. And, you know, he goes to the hospital or whatever, and his daughter just comes back and is like, oh, they gave him a sedative. And it, like, dawns on him, like, we could do the same thing to Reptilicus. So they put they concoct this sedative, put it in the rocket head of a bazooka, and they have this emotional scene where they're getting ready to fire, and Reptilicus gets distracted by an ambulance and starts to go away. So the younger military officer, he's bleeding from the head. I don't know when that happened.
Probably something cut out from the American one.
Yeah. He gets in his Jeep and drives straight towards Reptilicus and gets crushed.
Reptilicus just lays on that guy.
Lays on him. But it distracts the monster long enough for the general to shoot the bazooka into the mouth And Reptilicus falls asleep, and they win. I don't know what they do. I don't know what they do with him.
I'm not really sure. It never really says.
But there was an insert shot earlier in the movie when they were doing the bombardment at sea, where we saw one leg get blown off. And then, of course, that comes back. It's a stinger ending, is that the leg is walking by itself under the sea, regenerating as credits roll. Thank God.
Reptilicus Part 2?
Yeah, I don't think so. Not going to happen. This movie was made over 50 years, almost 55 years ago. Right. Yeah.
Never say never, Aaron.
That's right. They're always bringing back dead IPs.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah. I mean, like I said, it's a movie that at times is so bad it's good.
Mm-hmm.
There's still stretches of it that are pretty boring.
So bad is bad.
So bad is bad. The logic is crazy. The acting is bonkers. The whole execution of the creature is absolutely terrible. It's a movie tailor-made for MST3K.
Yes.
So if you're going to watch it, I would recommend watching the MST3K version.
It would be way better.
I think I've watched it before. I may have seen this movie a couple of times. I feel like I watched that, but I can't remember how good it was. But anyway.
You know, watching the Denmark version probably would have been better.
It would have been interesting. But anyway, creature design?
Yeah.
Is that what comes next?
I think.
Yeah, it's awful. I mean, it looks like a cheap puppet on strings. They try to help it out. And in some cases, accidentally make it worse because they film it in super slow-mo.
Mm-hmm.
They film a lot of the close-ups with like super low-grade film stock.
Yeah.
Which adds a lot of fame and film scratches and stuff. But it looks bad. I mean, the positive of the low-grade film stock is you can't see the strings.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's the only positive.
That's the only positive. And the super slow-mo, it's just kind of ridiculous. And
nothing could have helped how bad that thing looked.
Yeah. He's also got wings. I think in the Denmark version, it did fly, but it looked so bad.
They cut it out.
For the English version. So it must have looked really bad because I don't know.
Makes me want to go back and watch the Denmark version.
Yeah. I feel like I've seen YouTube clips and it was bad. But anyway, yeah, so it's bad. Effects overall, they're bad. The acid spitting thing, they literally just went in and drew some green blobs on the film.
And it covered the screen for a minute.
There's a scene where he eats a farmer.
That is
so terrible. It reminds me of early South Park when they were literally stop motion animated paper mache characters. It looks like they had like a paper cutout of this guy that they stop animated going into his mouth.
Stop animated with real animation.
I mean, it literally is just like that they put this piece of paper of this guy and like over the film. And
it looked really bad.
It looked really bad. I don't know how they did it, but it looked absolutely terrible.
I'll give them credit for that. They made it look so bad, it made you wonder.
It was funny. Mm-hmm. I'll give them that. It was funny. You know, like I said, it at times is helped by the fact that they're using real military vehicles. They're setting off real explosives using real flamethrowers.
Mm-hmm.
They actually set the suit on fire at one point. They're actually setting off charges next to the puppet under the sea. So that helps it. But, yeah, overall, terrible, terrible effects.
Oh, yeah.
And then score? I don't know how much of it was originally made for this movie. I mean, they've got a credited composer, so maybe all of it. I mean, it's pretty typical giant monster movie of this era score. There's one scene I made fun of because there's like a really dramatic piece of music over an airplane taking off.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It's fine, I guess.
Could have been way worse than what it was.
Yeah. Could have been way worse.
We've seen way worse.
We know way worse. But anyway, I think it's time for final thoughts. What do you think?
Well, why not? Finally, you know, this movie was, it was a movie. It was not the best thing ever created by far. But, you know, if we go, if this podcast goes on for long enough, we'd probably drag up something that's worse than it.
I mean, we would watch first movies already.
Yeah, but, you know.
And we will watch more.
Don't worry. Like, the effects are terrible in this movie. The score is not the best. It's there. It suits for what this movie is, I guess. What they're kind of trying to put out there. But the acting is not working for it. The editing is not going well for the movie. And the all the slime effect things. This was not good at all. They like tried to make them better going in slow motion and trying to hand draw it in there. Doing, like you said, low-grade film at parts. But it did, nothing they were doing was working out for them, making this movie any better.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll give this movie a D.
A D? Yeah. I mean, like I said, you've got to approach this movie with kind of a MST3K kind of mindset.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be bad. It's one of those movies that's best to get some friends and get drunk and watch Hammered. Or watch with MST3K. It's bad. But there are moments that are so bad they're good. Mm-hmm. And like I said, there are even a couple of things that mildly impressed me considering the low quality of the rest of the film. I didn't hate watching this movie. It's about, 81, 82 minutes?
Yeah.
Not too excessively long. And there's some fun to be had with how bad it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll be nice. I'll give it a B+ for entertainment value, I guess. But, yeah, I wouldn't just watch it just to watch it. But there are too many other good movies out there. But
don't be me and watch it 4 times.
Yeah, don't be Andrew and have watched it 4 times. There are other movies that deserve your attention. But anyway, there's a few new news items I wanted to cover. One, this was published right after we finished recording our last episode, so we didn't get to talk about it. But if you guys know the YouTubers Epic Rap Battles of History, they've released a new one in honor of the Godzilla Kong movie coming out, Godzilla vs. Kong. And it's good. It's really good. If you guys have ever watched any of their stuff, it's one of the better ones, I think. And if you've never watched any of their stuff, we're not sponsored by these guys, but I would suggest that you go check it out. They're pretty entertaining. They do a good job.
Mm-hmm. You know, it could be worse. Everything.
Could be worse. It's pretty damn good. Anyway. Yeah. End of Evangelion is coming back to select U.S. cinemas, I think March 17th and March 20th. I asked Andrew if we should cancel the podcast we had for that week and cover End of Evangelion instead.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like I'm going to have to be out of town most of that week. So I don't think it's going to work. We're going to have to pre-record that week's episode.
Yeah.
So, but we'll get to Evangelion eventually. I don't know if we'll do all of the Evangelion movies or just the rebuild, but we'll cover Evangelion eventually. And I did see, I don't think I've talked about this yet, they did put a release date on Ultraman Rising, that Netflix animated movie coming out later this year. It'll be coming out on June 14th. So of course we'll cover that. We'll cover Godzilla and Kong when it comes out. We'll do one wrap-up episode over the new anime, Kaiju Number 8, mm-hmm. once it airs and concludes. So we've got a lot of new material to cover this year.
Oh, we do.
And a lot of old material to cover in the weeks in between. And starting next week, we'll continuing next week with covering old material. We're going back to Toho again, with a movie that may be more kaiju adjacent, But it's a Toho classic nonetheless that I want to cover. And that is Latitude Zero.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It's Did we not do that one?
No, we have not covered that one yet.
Huh.
I know. Shocking.
We watched it a couple times.
We've watched it once, I think. But we'll watch it again, and we'll recover it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about it. It's got Cesar Romero, the guy famous for playing Joker on the 60s mm-hmm. Batman TV show. So there's that, if you're interested in watching. But anyway, I think that's all we got for you this week. Don't forget that you can always contact us at stompthisway1954@gmail.com or visit our website at
stompthisway.wordpress.com.
That's right. You can always find us at Facebook, which I post, again, religiously once a week to tell you about our new episode. And don't forget to join us next week for Latitude Zero. And with that, thank you for listening. As always, I'm Aaron.
I'm Andrew.
And we'll see you next week.